Thanks, Dana. So those of you who know me, I'm Pastor Matt, by the way. Good morning. You know that I'm very type A, and this has been bugging me literally all morning long. And if it falls down again, nobody look at it. I'm going to be distracted now. How you guys doing this morning? Welcome. Welcome. What a great story from the Morgans. If you're new with us, we're in the third week of a series that we're calling Not a Fan, and we're really excited about it. Lots of stuff is happening in our small group settings and some personal devotions, and it's been really, really good. But I think the most fun thing that's come out of this series is stories like we just heard from Ryan and Mandy, stories like we heard from Nathan last week. The stories of what a real God is doing in real people's lives, because we can stand up here with lots of platitudes, can't we? But I think it's great. It's great. So, if you're new with us, I'm just going to real quick cover what's going on over here. Yeah, I'm going to not be able to not look at that. Maybe, Greg, could we just have a thing where you just like wave at me if it falls, okay? All right, then I'll let it go. Last week, Pastor Al talked a little bit about Not a Fan, and we got into this concept that a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. And there are a lot of people who are fan. I walk a lot. If I fall down, I'm going to pop back up and just walk around slowly, and we're all going to act like it didn't happen, okay? A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. So we asked Josiah, my son, the other day. We were reading one of the question books while we were out for dinner. And the question was, would you rather watch football or play football? And we've been trying to share with our kids the concept that we've been learning in church. And so Josiah thinks about it for a minute and he says, well, I guess I'd rather play football because I don't want to just be a fan. So we didn't get it fully. But the idea is that a fan is, they're enthusiastic, and they admire, and they're nice, and they're happy about it. And there's a lot of fans out there of Jesus, but a fan is self-involved. A fan is a receiver. A fan is someone who shows up when it's great and cheers loudly, but when it's bad, they can leave. They've got no investment. Now, a follower, on the other hand, a follower is completely committed to the cause. And that's an important distinction. One way that you might think about it, as election times are coming up, a lot of people have a lot to say about a lot of candidates, don't they? And all that you do, all that you say, all the platitudes that you can make, all of the posts that you can put on Facebook, they're great. But if it's too inconvenient for you to go vote, well, you're not committed. It doesn't matter. You're just a fan. And that's the idea that we're pitching here with Not a Fan. Last week, Pastor Al, he looked at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he just kind of broke it down a little bit. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And what Jesus is telling people here is that you have the option to follow him. You don't have to. You don't. But if you do, sort of like the military, once you sign up and you decide, yes, I'm in, well, then there's some options that go out the door. Because now Jesus wants you to follow him. And following him means denying yourself, taking up your cross daily. And all week, all I wanted to do was eat a chocolate sundae. All week. And if you weren't here last week, you don't even understand what Al did to us. It was really rude, Al. He sat up here with a plate with a huge brownie and ice cream on top, and he poured hot sauce on it, and then he gets out this can of whipped cream, and the whole time he's talking about, well, I won't say because you will leave early, and it's not a communion Sunday. His point was, We can choose this, but then with that choice comes the choice to walk around with an extra this. And so this concept of denying yourself in order to receive benefits, in order to achieve a goal, well, that made a lot of sense to me. So all week, while I've been very hungry, I can't stop thinking about that stupid giant bag of salt. And my knees hurt a little. So that's the concept here. That's the concept here in Not a Fan that we're going to talk about a little bit. This week, we're going to look at Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to Mark chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to borrow one for this, or even steal one from us, it's not stealing because I say you can. We got a table with Bibles on the back. But what we're going to find is Jesus calling. And today what I want to talk about, now that we understand a little bit about what a fan is, I want to talk about who should follow Jesus. Who should follow Jesus? It's an interesting question. Who does Jesus want to follow him? And of course, we're all smart enough to be cliche, so we say everyone. And so what we find in Mark chapter 2 is a scene. And it goes like this. He went out again beside the sea. The he in this is Jesus. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. That's kind of short, right? This guy, just life change. I don't even think there's more than one period in there. Here's the interesting thing. Here's what's happening. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he has quickly become a very big deal. A lot of times we see Jesus and we think of this quiet, meek little sheep that hid out in a house. But that's not Jesus. Jesus is healing people. He's casting demons out of people. And there's a lot of people who want to see the show. On top of that, he's really smart about God. And even the Pharisees and the other teachers get stumped by him a lot. And so it doesn't take long for Jesus to gain a following of people. And so everywhere he goes, there's crowds. And Mark, in his book about Jesus, that we call Mark, he talks a lot about how the crowds were almost an irritant for Jesus because there were so many people who wanted to be around him. So Jesus, early in his ministry, is enjoying somewhat of a rock star status. The night before, there was a man whose friends had brought him to be healed at a house where Jesus was, but they couldn't get in the door. And so they tore open the roof and dropped their buddy down. That's Jesus. This is where we find Jesus. So he's at the beginning of his ministry, and there's lots of people following him. He's got no shortage of fans. And that's the important thing for you to know. Now he's down by the sea, and he's walking, and he passes by a tax booth. I've got sermon notes today in your bulletin, so if you have sermon notes and you're the type that likes to doodle and draw, on the back, I've given you some doodle suggestions, including the tax booth. See, Jesus is a rock star, and he's good. He's really good, and everyone wants a piece of Jesus. Some of you remember grade school. You guys remember this guy? Do they play dodgeball anymore? But not with Nerf balls. These are the balls we used to use, right? And when you take one to the face, you know it's there. And when I was growing up, I still remember this thing that we used to do in gym class where we were going to play dodgeball, and it was time to pick teams, right? How many of you guys got picked first when it was time to pick teams? You can go now. See, when it was time to pick teams, the best, the fastest, the coolest, the one that everybody liked, that's the person who got picked first. And then the next coolest, and then the next best, and then the next most liked, right? And then there was always that one kid, and I remember which kid that was. In my school, we're going to call him Levi. And he got picked last. And frankly, we all know he wouldn't have got picked at all if that was an option, right? You know, when it gets close to that kid, everybody's doing the math, counting back and forth, like, oh, man, we're going to get stuck with Levi. In our story, we have just such a guy, Levi. What you might not know about a tax booth is this is not the modern-day equivalent of the IRS. See, Levi, who will be called Matthew later when he's one of Jesus' disciples, Levi was probably a Jew. Probably his parents saw great things for him, and that's why they named him Levi. They thought maybe he would come up as a really good religious, maybe a rabbi or a priest. But we find him here in a tax booth. And the deal is the Jews were captive at this time. And so if you worked in a tax booth, what you were is a Jew who was taking money from your people and giving it to your captors so that they could continue to captivate you. So no one loved them. On top of it all, they enjoyed a reputation of being thieves because they kind of took what they wanted and skimmed off the top. And so they would steal from their people for their own personal gain, and they would take from their people for the gain of those who held them in captivity. And so tax collectors were, like our modern-day IRS, a necessary evil. But no one liked them. No one wanted to be around a tax collector. They were sort of the cast-offs. And Levi was a tax collector. And so here comes Jesus. And there's people just all around. And the story doesn't really give us in this scene, it doesn't give us much information about what their relationship might have been or how much back and forth happened. What we do find is that Jesus turns to Levi, clearly not the coolest. And he says, follow me. That ever happened to you in school? Where the bad kid got picked first? I tried it once when I got to be captain. I only got to be captain just the one time. But I always felt bad for that kid. And Jesus, he says, follow me. And in Luke's version of the story, as Luke relays it, Luke actually tells us that he rose, left everything, and followed Jesus. Now, because of what we know about tax collectors and because of what we know about this time, we can assume that this was remarkable. But the nice thing is that we don't have to assume, because in the next scene, we find out that it was, in fact, perplexing that he would choose Levi. And as he reclined again, the he is Jesus, reclines at a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Well, that's interesting. So Matthew drops everything and follows Jesus, and so we find him at his home. And I'm interchanging Matthew and Levi. They're the same person, okay, in case you weren't there. This is who Matthew knows. These are his friends. Other tax collectors, that's who he hangs out with. Sinners. And then you've got Jesus. And remember, Jesus is a rock star. He's an up-and-comer. But of course, anybody who rises to prominence and power has influence, and anybody with influence makes anybody else with influence nervous until you know what he's going to do, what his angle is. And so we've got these Pharisees and the scribes of the Pharisees, they're there, and they see Jesus. They're on a little reconnaissance mission, and they see Jesus, and he's eating with these these unwanteds. And so they ask his fans, they say, what's the deal, man? What's he doing? Look at, I mean, he could eat with anyone. He could eat with us. What's his angle here? What's he trying to get? And you see, we again, if we take liberties and read into it, his fans don't know either. They might even be a little embarrassed. Well, shoot, if Jesus called that Levi, apparently that's how good we are. But Jesus hears. And when he hears it, he turns and he says to him, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Well, that's remarkable. So what can we learn here? What's in this story? Is this interesting? Because if it's not, you guys are probably already checked out. This is really interesting to me. And it should be to you too, because you're stuck with me. Here's what we got. Jesus calls people to come from where they are, not as they are. And I'm not sure who told us this, but at some point, someone told us to come as we are. God, Jesus, Jesus is God. God loves everyone, so everyone in. Come as you are. But that's not in the Bible. And this is a really important first point, because of my next points are going to suggest that I think that. But if you know me, you know that I love people. My wife loves people. My kids love people. We really want people to know about who Jesus is and what he wants. But we want to help them understand that God wants you, wherever you are, whoever you are, God wants you. And that's so important, but sometimes we miss it and we forget that God wants people where they are, not as they are. I'm a little nervous. There's a video that is going to be right in here, in this box, and it's not happening right now, and I don't need it at all. But if it happens to pop up, it's going to be weird for everyone. So if it does, just know I'm sorry in advance for my technology. See, this is something that we should learn. In your notes, I've got a couple of open-ended questions, and one of the questions that I have in there that I think is really interesting to me. I don't do this a lot. I'm a part-time fill-in interim guy. So do with that what you want. See, we sometimes, as Christians, we tend to think, did you take it away from me? I'm not allowed to play anymore. I understand. Sometimes, as Christians, we think people are too far from God. We think if they don't seem like they're ready for God, then we shouldn't ask them to be followers. We shouldn't invite them yet because they're not shiny. And we are, aren't we? Number two. Found it. Any chance I've got it? Oh, I do. Good job, you guys. I'm very impressed. I would have screwed that up. Okay. Number two. Jesus came to a broken world to heal broken people. A couple of nights ago, my daughter, who's 4, she'll be 5 next week, woke up twice in the middle of the night. She never wakes up in the middle of the night, and she woke up screaming and crying, and it was so irritating. Now, if you, there's a lot of babies here and pregnant women, so I know that you go through this a lot, but I already did my time. So when the girl is crying, she's a daddy's girl, so daddy gets up first. Right, babe? I'm taking credit for it because she doesn't have a microphone. And when she woke up the first time, I got up and I, oh, sweetie, I love you, I love you. And I tucked her back in and went and laid down. And just as I'm dozing off again, I hear her start crying again. And you know, like, there's a moment where your patience is done with the crying. And I was already there. I was like, really? Are you kidding me? And she had a toothache. And if you're in a relationship, then you know that it's always your spouse's fault. And so this was her fault. And I remember, I was so mad. I'm like, because it's night and I'm not thinking straight. Otherwise, I treat her with the utmost love and respect. Who's laughing? And I said, I just turned, I'm like, what in the world? Why has this not been taken care of already? Yeah, I said it. I said it. There's a huge hole between me and her. So I was upset. And what she says, she wasn't sick then. She didn't need to see the dentist earlier. Now it hurts. Now she needs to see the dentist. See, Jesus came to a broken world to heal broken people. And the Pharisees and the scribes of the Pharisees, they don't quite understand it. Why is Jesus hanging out with these undesirables? These people are sinners. They're out in the open sinners. They don't even care if we know they're bad. This guy, he just pulled them out of a tax booth. Even sinners don't like to hang out with those guys. What is he doing? And Jesus says, well, if you think you're righteous, then I guess I'm not here for you. Notice what he didn't say. If you look in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, what's really interesting, he says to them, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. What he doesn't say is, I came not to call righteous people like you. That's not what he says. Remember, we just went through Romans, and in Romans, what did we learn? No one is righteous. Not even one. That means that you're not righteous and you're not righteous. I'm specifically looking up, just so you know. None of you. We'll talk later, though, babe, okay? I'm in deep, if I can have lunch with any of you. So we know no one is righteous. So what Jesus is not saying here is that you're good enough, so that's why I'm not here for you. What he's saying is you have a choice to make about me, and that involves a choice that you have to make about you. If you think you're good enough, fine. I guess I'm not here for you. Because healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor. And I'm here to heal the sick. That's who Jesus is. That's what he came for. That is who should follow Jesus. People who are sick. People who aren't pretty. People who are undesirable. People who sin. How many of you sin? How many of you have sinned openly, knowingly this week? I have. Okay? That's us, guys. That's us. We're not righteous. We're saved. Number three. Oh, there's the sick kid. See, I did this PowerPoint really well. Jesus isn't concerned about appearances. He's concerned about broken people. What was funny about that? For those of you who don't know, Heather in the back, who just laughed really loudly, she's my assistant at my real life job. Or she was. Jesus isn't concerned about appearances. He's concerned about broken people becoming followers. The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't get it. And in a lot of our churches, in a lot of our families, in a lot of our hearts, if we're to be real honest with ourselves, we'd rather look like good Christians than help broken people become followers. There are a lot of us who don't even really know non-believers. And while we wouldn't say it out loud, we don't associate with them, with people who do this, who act like that, who believe this. We don't. And so I've challenged you in your notes. Which people do you have a scribes and Pharisees attitude about that you would not know to become followers? Because appearances are what people think. Followers are what people are. Appearances make scribes and Pharisees say, "What is he doing with that guy?" Followers drop everything and follow him. They came from where they are to be like him. I read a study that came out the other day. This is very interesting. 1 in 4 women misdiagnose themselves through online sources. About 75% of all people go online before they go to see a doctor. Did you know that? To find out what's wrong with them? 1 in 4 women seriously misdiagnose themselves. The biggest one is cancer. There's a lot of women out there walking around who believe they have breast cancer. They don't. Who is Jesus calling? Who should be a follower? Jesus is surrounded by fans. In your life, maybe in your church, there's a lot of fans. There's a lot of people who will come for the show. Great music this morning, right? We have a wonderful children's program. Our youth director is top-notch. I think a lot of you guys are likable. See me after. You know a lot of people at your workplace, at your school, in your neighborhood. Sure, I guess I'm a Christian. Jesus is cool. I like Jesus. Whatever. I believe in God. I'm not really a church person, but I believe in God. I don't really read the Bible. God, but I know God will just take me as I am. Broken people, broken world. Who should follow Jesus? Jesus is for losers. Jesus is for you and for me. Think about that a little bit. I'm going to drop these here for you, because if you're type A like I am, you need to fill in the blanks in your notes. So there they are. I want to encourage you guys. We've got all sorts of things, and this summer we're going to go into a real evangelistic mode. We're going to really try to get out there. We really, really want to encourage you to know people who don't know Jesus, who are fans of Jesus but need to know him for real, who need to drop everything and follow him. Some of us need to drop everything and follow him because we're just enthusiastic admirers. And so I want to encourage you to get that right. And then get out there. Go find a tax booth. Maybe the tax booth is at your next door neighbor's house. Are my neighbors here? Okay. who knows what that might be? But Jesus wasn't afraid to get dirty, and he wasn't afraid to look bad, and he wasn't afraid to bring people in who maybe didn't fit the mold. Broken world. Broken people. That's what we're doing. So as you're out there, you'll be surprised when you start talking to people about Jesus, when you ask them, when you're overcome your appearances issue and say, "Hey, would you ever want to hear about Jesus?" You'll be surprised that people won't melt down. Some of them will be like, "Really? You think? You think he might want me?" That's who Jesus called, friends. Jesus called followers, and Jesus is for losers.